Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we talk about the Detroit Lions' 31-23 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Lions are heading to the NFC Championship game. We'll discuss the atmosphere at Ford Field. And as usual, we'll discuss what went well, any pivotal moments in the game, any concerns, as well as takeaways and major storylines coming out of this contest. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Jason Gabena with the Detroit Lions, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined, as usual today, by James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast. That drops on Mondays. James, great to have you here as usual.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, normally our podcast is mostly high school stuff, but this episode that we just recorded today was mostly Lions.
Nice. So there you go, folks. You want some more Lions stuff? Check out the Get Around podcast with James Cook from the Traverse City Record Eagle. As we get into it, let's start, as we often do, by hearing from Coach Campbell and what he said right after the game.
You know, we knew it was going to come down to the end. Baker, I thought, played really well. I got a ton of respect for Coach Bowles and what he's done. We knew that was a tough team. That was somewhat a mirror image of us. So we delivered body blows, and you know, and ultimately we did what we had to do to win that game. But I mean, there's nothing easy about it. And to be able to win in the playoffs and do what we did, that group of guys, we get guys like, you know, Frank, man, battling for the injury, get back out there and help us win a game. It just, you know, it speaks volumes to type of guys we got in the character. And you know, Derek Barnes comes away with a huge pick there at the end, game on the line. And you know, I thought our defense played outstanding. You know, we gave up a couple of things, but ultimately, man, we did what we had to do. Two takeaways. And offensively, we knew we had to be patient against that defense, and it paid dividends in the second half. So really proud of everybody that's a part of this.
James, what a game that was. I mean, and Coach Campbell talked about it. This is the second week in a row that all aspects of the team really had to step up and play a part. It wasn't just one part carrying the whole team.
Yeah, I mean, they got contributions from everybody, offense, defense, special teams. You can argue that the Lions won each of those aspects by a little bit, at least. You know, they had a missed field goal. The Lions did not. On returns, Tampa's return game didn't do a whole lot. You know, the Lions got a decent return or two in there. The special teams was definitely in Detroit's favor. I'm just surprised you have a voice left.
Yeah, you as well. I mean, I'll be honest, it was a hit and miss today as I was at work and teaching. And I don't have a full voice right now, and I'm announcing basketball tomorrow night. So, but that crowd was intense. And we're going to get to that here in a little bit. As we usually do, we talk about what we liked. We started talking about that complete game. You hit on the special teams pretty good right there. And I think we got to go right next to the segment is the Lions defense, because they're the group that's taken a lot of flack for a good chunk of the season because they're not a top five defense overall. You know, they're a top five rush defense, but overall their defense is middle of the road. And they pulled out two interceptions in this game. C.J. Gardner-Johnson got an early one, which was big because it only led to 3 points, but it got the Lions on the board early. And then there's that Derek Barnes interception to seal the game, and we're going to get to that later too. But you just got to be really thrilled with what you saw out of this defense. What did you see from the defense, James?
Yeah, it was the bend but don't break that we've been seeing, you know, where receivers seem to get their yards and get their catches in between the 20s, and then inside the 20, that Lions defense is a little more compact, and that favors their personnel, I think. So they're able to not break there inside the red zone. The red zone defense the last 3-4 weeks has been actually pretty darn good. You know, they're letting teams move the ball and get down to the 20, but then they're not giving up touchdowns.
Nice. And that's the big thing too. You said that bend don't break. We didn't give up many big plays. They had to go methodically down the field. And by requiring that to happen, you increase the chance, of course, of a mistake being made. And we saw two vital mistakes in this game. I think a lot of people were surprised that it was 3-3 after one quarter of play. You know, both teams have a great rush defense. And I want to say Jared Goff threw the ball more than a lot of people were expecting. But Campbell said they actually passed in order to set up the run because of how good that Tampa Bay run defense is. And that Jared Goff to Josh Reynolds touchdown pass early in the second quarter was big. And that allowed the Lions to go up 10-3. And they never trailed in this game. Many times Tampa came back and tied it, but the Lions never trailed. And so I think after Reynolds, then you saw Laporte and St. Brown stepping up, having great numbers. This passing game attack was pretty substantial today.
Yeah. And I think that the thing you mentioned about the Lions not trailing is another big thing, I think, for them. It allows them on defense to play that bend but don't break. It forced the other team, put them in positions where they can make mistakes and do that. You don't have to be as aggressive and desperate and blitzing all the time and doing those kind of things. You can kind of play back a little bit and let the mistakes come to you. And that's been huge, I think, for the last month. I mean, you know, they haven't trailed since the botched 2-point conversion call against the Cowboys.
That's incredible stat right there.
Yeah.
And that's not easy to do either.
No, for 3 games against 3, you know, pretty good teams, 2 in the playoffs. That's not an easy thing to do in the NFL.
Now, the running game was not easy, but the Lions still got 114 yards on the ground in the end. And they held Tampa to 89 yards, which is one above their average on the season. And so anytime you can make a team a little bit more one-dimensional, you've got to like that. Another thing I really liked is to end the third quarter, the Lions got a touchdown. And then to start the fourth quarter, they got touchdowns on consecutive drives. So 3 straight drives, the Lions scored touchdowns. And that was really good because it took a little bit of that pressure off the defense. The defense was holding serve for a while, but at some point, you know, you just need to give them a cushion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then playing with that lead, that's the best thing for a defense. You can kind of do whatever you want at that point on defense. You can be a little more aggressive if you want. You can sit back. You know, and we saw the Lions do a little bit of both. You know, they'd sprinkle some blitzes in, especially kind of earlier in the game where they were bringing some DBs here and there. But you can just make them do a long methodical drive, which I think Tampa Bay, that's not necessarily their specialty. I mean, we've seen all year that big plays to Mike Evans has kind of been their big bread and butter. And Mike Evans had a really good game. But he, you know, wasn't breaking off those 40, 50 yard long touchdowns.
Yeah, Mike Evans had a great game, no doubt about it. That seems to be a common theme about a lot of teams we're playing, that somebody, a wide receiver, has a really good game. But you know what matters the most is that final score, right? It doesn't matter how many yards Puka Nacua had or Justin Jefferson had. What matters in the end is the Lions have at least one more point than the opponent, and that's been happening. James, you referenced my voice. Your voice seems a little bit not full either. We were both at the game, and that crowd was amazing. I want to hear from you. What was your impression?
Yeah, it was just crazy. I kind of came prepared for it. I actually had brought earplugs with me just in case, And I didn't end up using them, but I brought a whole bag full of, or a pocket full of cough drops. And I think that's about the only reason I'm not completely hoarse today is because I went through about six cough drops during the game to kind of help my throat and voice. Because, you know, everybody there was getting after it as far as letting the Buccaneers have it when they had the ball on offense. I mean, in the first half, you couldn't hear the referee when they were announcing penalties.
No, you could not
be shown on the board who exactly the penalty was on and what the penalty was. You could see the motion of which side it was against and maybe pick up the motion of what the penalty was. But to get the particulars, you had to wait for the scoreboard.
Well, and, you know, I heard some people make comments on social media that the crowd was maybe not quite as good as the week before. And I want to speak to that for a moment. I want to say the way a game is played plays into how a crowd reacts because they play off each other. And the crowd was really good to start this thing out. And I would say there was a lull in the middle of this game, but I also say the game created that lull. But that fourth quarter, it may be as electric as I have ever seen Ford Field. And it really stepped up when the defense was on the field and the game was on the line and the crowd delivered. You can't tell me, especially on that last drive, that Baker did not feel the pressure.
Yeah, I think so. And even some of the things that people wouldn't have heard or seen if they were watching on TV is how loud the fans were during the commercial breaks. Even, you know, I mean, when Seven Nation Army was going and when they were playing Queen, I mean, they were loud as heck. I mean, you know, Tampa Bay still got to try to communicate on the sideline during those breaks.
That's an excellent point. Cause yeah, Jared Goff chance were breaking out again and they'd be like a minute 45 on the scoreboard counting down, coming back from commercial break. And the crowd was getting so loud. All right, well, let's transition into anything we didn't like or concerns. Again, just like we said last week, folks, we're just going to throw some things out that might not have been perfect, but I'm going to speak for James. And James, you talk over me if you disagree. We're not concerned too much about anything. We're pretty thrilled with the victory. We're moving on to the next round. No game is going to be perfect at this stage of the NFL season. I will say the thing I didn't like the most was probably the last 2 minutes of the first half. The Lions were up 10-3, and we had the ball inside the two-minute warning, and we got sacked on third down. And then we ultimately had to punt, and the Bucs came back and got a touchdown. And so we felt like we had really been in control of that first half, and that little sequence of events right there, it gave the Bucs a little momentum going into halftime. So that was a little bit of a bummer for me.
Yeah. The other kind of concerns, I guess, would be pretty similar to the last month or so. You know, that number one receiver for the other team had a big game once again. You know, Mike Evans with 8 catches for 147 yards and the tight end doing some damage too with Kate Otten getting 5 catches for 65 yards. And he's not, you know, one of the top receiving tight ends in the NFL or anything. And he was still able to get his pretty good. That doesn't bode well for what a guy like George Kittle can do maybe next week.
That is true. And, you know, early in the season, we had some issues with tight ends before as well. And so got to see what Aaron Glenn can scheme up and what they can adjust. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought there was a slight chance we might see a little bit of a dime defense at some point just because of the fact that Baker was a little bit mobile and they tended to pass more than run. I don't remember seeing any of that, though. And so we'll see if the situation calls for it. I don't expect to see that this next week because San Francisco is a very different team. I just thought it might have happened there. Mm-hmm. Another thing some people might consider a concern or be critical of is that the Lions didn't put the game away, if you will. Like they went up, but they didn't keep going up. And I'm just going to say, this is the playoffs. You know, there were four teams left in the NFC. And look at Green Bay and San Francisco. I think the spread was even bigger in that game. And San Francisco was lucky to walk out of there with a victory. So that doesn't really concern me, but that might be something that concerns somebody else. Any other concerns or anything you didn't like in this game, James?
Yeah, well, the Lions were favored by 6.5 and covered their spread. The San Francisco 49ers were favored by 9.5 and did not cover. So
there you go.
The injury to Jonah Jackson is obviously a concern. And it sounds like he's pretty much out. He's out this week. I mean, he already had surgery on the meniscus in his knee. They're saying if they make it to the Super Bowl, he could maybe play then. So it sounds like they're not putting him on IR. Aoshika, the first player too, when he came in, Vita Vea kind of really used him and got some pressures. But then after that, he seemed to settle in a lot better. It was okay. So I'm guessing you'll see him over Sorsdahl at guard there.
You're absolutely right on Jonah Jackson not liking that injury. And that's actually, I'm going to bring that up as one of the turning points or pivotal moments in the game. Right, he came out in the third quarter, and you saw that pressure. You talked about it when Kyode Oshika came in. But you know what? That didn't stunt us. That didn't stop our drive. You got nervous a little bit. You're like, how's the offensive line going to hold up? But we went down on that drive, and the Lions still got a touchdown. And so Oshika did a solid job filling in, and that was pivotal.
Mm-hmm. Especially going pretty much head to head with a guy like Vita Vea. I mean, you know, he's maybe getting some help from Frank Ragnow, but Ragnow was obviously not 100% either in that game. I mean, he rolled both ankles at different points in that game, and was kind of a walking wounded guy there at center. Coyote had really had his hands full. I mean, going against one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL.
Well, and at the end of that drive, I'm going to call that another pivotal moment. The Lions had first and goal. They run the ball on first down to David Montgomery. Then they passed it on second down. Then they passed it on third down. Second and third down, I believe, were both incompletions. So it's fourth down and goal. And it's a tie game at this point, and it's in the third quarter. And they bring in the package with Craig Reynolds in at running back. And we're kind of looking like, wait, Reynolds is in there. And they hand it off to Reynolds, and he got a touchdown. Right up the middle, great blocking, great hard running. And we heard from Campbell after the game, you know, that's a package they run, but they never run the ball out of that package, which by taking Montgomery out and Gibbs out, they're thinking there's no way the Lions are running this. They're thinking pass all the way. And it just goes back to the brilliance of Dan Campbell. But that was pivotal because if we didn't get the touchdown there and we give the ball back as a tie game, you just don't know what happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point of a team using their own tendencies against the other team. The other team, you know, figuring out that the other team has to know this tendency with us and then going counter to it is something pretty huge. I mean, it's similar to the Cowboys 2-point conversion that didn't work, but, with always bringing in Skipper as the eligible guy and then changing it up and making Decker the eligible guy instead, that should have worked, but Brad Allen got in the way. but
that he using, did.
Realizing your own tendencies can really be a weapon for you in the NFL.
Yeah, it can. And the other thing that was pivotal here was at the end of the third quarter, the Lions brought some pressure, but Tampa did a screen pass, perfectly timed it, got a touchdown to tie the game. And what was pivotal was how the Lions responded. The very next drive, you had nice passes from Goff to Laporta and Goff to Gibbs. He did a good job receiving. And then you had that 31-yard touchdown run by Jahmyr Gibbs to put the Lions up 24-17. And that was big because they responded to the touchdown. They didn't trail. They gave up the lead at times to tie, but they never trailed. And so that was huge to me.
Yeah, Gibbs had a huge day. I mean, overall, 114 yards. He was one of their most dangerous weapons after Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta. I saw the people out there kind of complaining, not complaining, but saying, ripping on the people who had ripped on the Lions draft this year and about saying how, the Gibbs pick was way too early and all this stuff and saying, well, how does that look now?
Well, I may have been one of those people that posted the video from inside the stadium of the Gibbs run replay during forward down the field and said, where are the Lions critics on that Jahmyr Gibbs draft pick? Now, I mean, draft position value, yeah, I get it, but we said it from the beginning of the season. Play against a team that's got a really good running back or two, and how much harder are they to defend? And so, that was great. And you know what? On top of that, the Lions went and scored again on their next drive. So they were up 31-17. And Tampa came back and got a touchdown. But then Tampa went for the 2-point conversion, and the Lions stopped it. And that kept an 8-point lead. And it also, you always feel like it slows momentum when you don't pick up that 2-point conversion. I was kind of surprised Tampa went for it. I'm sure analytics say it. But what was your take on all of that?
You know, I would, at that point, I would have, you know, if you're going to be determined that you're going to go for the win and, you know, not try to shoot for overtime, you kick the extra point on that one and you go for two if you score another one and go for the win then. You know, you always keep yourself alive as long as you can in the game, and not getting that 2-point conversion kind of really put them behind the eight ball with some time to go. So I think it seemed like a desperate move at the time.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think it was a miscalculation. Because the other thing is this, as the game's going on still, at no point are the Lions in jeopardy of losing in regulation. Because you're like, even if they get a touchdown, they need the 2-point conversion just to tie the game. And it gave you a little bit more of a sense of comfort that, hey, you know what? We've got a little bit of cushion here. And they're going to have to operate and execute perfectly in order to get this on us. And it didn't happen.
Yeah, I thought it was also an interesting decision. I'm like, if you're going to do that and go for the 2-point conversion, then why don't you follow that up with an onside kick? You know, because there was only a couple minutes, you know, 4 or something, I think, to go in the game at that point. It seems like you would want to try to get the ball back right away. You know, the Lions, if they get the ball back, are just going to probably try to run some plays and run some clock off. So if you give them ball at the 40, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, and not only that, James, we were there. We watched the lineup. The Lions were protecting from the onside kick. And so what does Tampa do? They kick it out of the end zone. Why would you do that? Even if you don't want to do an onside kick, pooch it to the 15-yard line. The Lions are not in a good return formation. Maybe you get something to happen. And so I agree. Or go for that onside kick straight up. Because with that amount of time left, I was surprised by that coaching decision as well. So let's look at some storylines here, some major storylines. I want to start with our coach, Dan Campbell. All right. Early on in the game, the Lions kicked a field goal. It was a short field goal, and we went up 3-0. We took the points instead of going for it at that point. And it was great coaching. I often think people oversimplify Dan Campbell, and they think he's just this or just that. But, man, that man continues to evolve as a coach right beneath our eyes, right in front of us. And that evolve isn't a bad thing. I'm not saying he started in a bad spot. I think he's outgrowing, got to be majority of the coaches on the learning curve on this thing, it would seem. I mean, that's my impression.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to the thing of his aggressiveness changes depending on the opponent. Games that he expects to win, that he knows that the Lions are the favorite, he's not as aggressive because he's like, we can just ground and pound and win this game. Games where he thinks that maybe the Lions are at a disadvantage and maybe don't have the superior personnel in that game, he'll do things like go for, you know, try to do a punt at your own 30, like against the Chiefs. That's kind of been a thing the whole season, I think, you've kind of seen from Campbell throughout the year.
Yeah. And so, you know, here's a storyline about Dan Campbell. He started his Detroit Lions career 0-10-1. At the end of that season, they were 3-13-1. After that win yesterday, if my calculations are correct, you can check me out on this, Doc Brown. Dan Campbell is now 26-26-1 as a Detroit Lions head coach. That's an incredible, incredible turnaround. And I just had to put that out there and give that shout out to Campbell.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's already second all time in the Lions franchise postseason wins for coaches. In the 50s, when they were dominant, they changed coaches quite a bit. So, it's an interesting stat that I saw.
All right, because I was going to see. I don't know all the stats from the 50s, but that makes sense. They would have to have switched coaches because they were so successful back then. But since that time, you had one win by Wayne Fonts, and that was it. And so now Campbell's got two, and that puts him second all time. That is incredible. You know what is interesting about yesterday? Yesterday was the 3-year anniversary of when Dan Campbell had his introductory press conference for the Detroit Lions. And so that is very great timing. And I kind of mentioned it was coming up, but yesterday was also the 1 year anniversary of Not the Same Old Lions podcast. And not a better way to celebrate than with that victory yesterday. Such a great win and such a great way to commemorate those milestones, even if the podcast milestone is more ours and not anybody else's, but it's a good way to celebrate a year doing this.
Yeah, for sure. I thought it was funny that you see the Graham Glasgow quote, I think it was from today, where he was retweeting somebody who had called out some of the people who were criticizing Campbell from his opening press conference when he first got hired. Glasgow just said receipts.
Well, and you know, if we're throwing out some of that history stuff, I got some of that in some notes here. The Lions last won two playoff games in the same season in the year 1957. We've heard that going around. And that was the year they won the title. And, oh, by the way, they had to beat San Francisco to get to that title game. So there's that. The other thing is that 1991 season is the last time the Lions were in the NFC Championship game. The only time they were in the NFC Championship game. So you got some things coming back there that people are looking at for milestones or major storylines, just looking up old statistics and whatnot.
Here's a weird one too. The last time that the British monarch had a new coronation, the Detroit Lions won the next NFL championship.
I didn't see that one. Nice. I'll take it though. All right, James, let's talk about a couple players. There were some big storylines here. The first one I want to bring up is Derek Barnes a minute. I want to celebrate this guy because this guy had to go through it after that Dallas game because he didn't get the safety sack on Dak Prescott. That was the big, like, 92-yard play to CeeDee Lamb. And you know, all you heard was, you know, how does he miss this play? How does he not do that? What a credit for him to just keep working at it, to keep grinding. And what a great redemption feeling it had to have been for Derek Barnes to get that interception to end the game.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, the scouting report on Barnes does not include that he's a great pass coverage linebacker. that's not his thing. He's a run stopper and a guy who can blitz. And for him to drop back and pick off that pass, and it was a nice grab too.
It was not easy.
No, yeah, that was a contested catch and just a nice grab for a linebacker to come up with. That was huge. Dan Campbell was just glowing about Derek Barnes after the game.
And James, another storyline is Brock Wright got hurt in this game. And now it looks like he's more hurt than maybe some people thought. Why don't you update the listeners on what's going on with that?
Yeah, I think I heard it was a broken forearm. So that pretty much means he's done. I think he's going to go on IR. The Detroit Lions this morning signed three-time Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz to their practice squad. So he has a decent amount of familiarity with the Lions. He played under the Lions' current tight ends coach for 2 years previously. So there's some experience there and hopefully familiarity enough to get into the offense in a week and give the Lions a second nice receiving option there at tight end.
That makes a lot of sense because we first heard his name come up when Laporta got hurt. And obviously James Mitchell and Brock Wright both going down means our depth has taken a hit. So that's great. A great move for the Lions to bring him in and see if he can contribute.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not every day you can get an experienced guy like that that's still on the market that you can bring in and just plug right in.
You know, another thing that was interesting about this is this is the way it was different from the week before. When the Lions beat the Rams, Amon-Ra St. Brown caught that pass from Jared Goff for a first down. Jared Goff said he did not know that that had won the game. My understanding is the television commentators did not know that had won the game. I remember when it happened, we were turning to each other in the stands and trying to do the math and think, wait, is it over? Is it not over? Like, it wasn't until you saw them go out in victory formation that the light bulb went on for everybody. It was on for some already, and some people have done the math, know it. Dan Miller does a great job of talking about during the timeout how they went and did the math because he wanted to get the call right. And so so it was a different type of ending. It was still big, celebratory. But when Derek Barnes caught that interception, that one play ended it, and it sent the Lions to the NFC Championship game. That roar at Ford Field was amazing and intense during that moment.
Yeah, you could feel all the apprehension and anxiety that Lions fans had during that game get released in that one catch there by Barnes. And then people were just like, oh, now we've got this. The whole story with the what happened after that and the clock management is interesting.
Very interesting.
That's a whole separate thing.
And you know what? We can just let that go because the time ran out. But that's definitely a very interesting thing, how they still had a timeout left when they kneeled with 36 seconds. Hey, if we look at some history, because we've been doing some history stuff, here's something I've noticed a few weeks back. I noticed that I just thought about some correlations. I think I noticed this like the day after Michigan won the college football playoff. Did you know in 1989, the Michigan men's basketball team won the NCAA tournament?
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what else happened in basketball that same year?
In 89?
Yeah.
Pistons?
The Bad Boys, the Detroit Pistons, won the NBA title. Michigan was the basketball championship capital at that point, with those two winning. And so the University of Michigan won the college football playoff. Now, one thing doesn't mean the other thing, but, you know, it's kind of fun to see some things like that line up. And I mean, wouldn't it be kind of fun if something that lined up again?
Yeah. Two titles. That'd be pretty darn huge.
It really would be, especially because it had been so long for Michigan and it's been so long for the Detroit Lions. James, I got to share with the public something I shared with you guys about 5 minutes after the game ended. And it may have been a little bit out there, a little bit crazy, but I already booked my flight a week ago to go to San Francisco. And I bought tickets for that game, not knowing if San Francisco would even be playing in that game, nor the Lions for that matter. And I got those 4 days ago. And I think that's the other thing that just hit is I can't believe this is happening. I cannot believe the Lions are going to the NFC Championship game.
It is crazy. I've had a lot of people ask me if I'm going to be going to San Francisco, and I'm like, I don't know about that. It's a little above my pay grade at this point, I think.
Well, what I did was I booked my flight a week ago, figuring the prices were going to go up a lot. And I have seen online the prices, and they're like four or five times what I paid for my flight. And so
nice.
I was like, all right. And knowing that I was flying through Detroit, of course, you're going to be spending a lot. Now, if you lived in Dallas or something, that you're looking at a whole different story. But I hedged my bets on that, and it worked out. James, you know, any final thoughts? It's about time to wrap this thing up. Any final thoughts on the game we saw?
The whole thing was just pretty amazing. Just to be at, just to take in, be part of, be there, be loud. It was a great experience. Sure, and thanks for letting me come along.
Oh, dude, it was my pleasure. It was an honor to have you there, man. It makes this that much more fun. Well, James, guess what? I said this last week, but I'm going to say it correctly this week. We get to do another show.
We do. Indeed, we do. Maybe two.
Anything is possible at this point. There are only four teams left in the NFL playoffs. And James, as we get out of here, I'm going to get sentimental for just a minute here. There's a fictional character named Andy Bernard, and he's from the television show The Office. And he's got a great quote, and I like it. It goes like this. I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them. And folks, I got to tell you, if you haven't figured it out, that time is right now for the Detroit Lions. You never know what the future holds. But this season, oh my, I mean, describing it as incredible, that's an understatement. And my hope is that you have focused more on the good this season and you didn't get too negative and buy into the negative stuff after any of the losses during the regular season, and thus have been able to truly enjoy this ride as we here at this podcast have enjoyed this ride all season long. The Lions are currently better than 28 other teams in the NFL. They are one of only four still playing football, and the last time you could say that was the 1991 season. James, let's get out of here. We'll do this next week. Have a great week, and thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you, folks, so much for tuning in. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.